Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Mint Insights podcast. I sincerely hope that you've been having a lovely week so far, and since I'm uploading this on Thursday, hope that you'll eventually have a good weekend. And as I always say, make sure you subscribe to the Mint Insights podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, YouTube, wherever else you can find the Mint Insights podcast. And make sure you follow me on Twitter at IamFostitute for all future podcast information. And this episode, it's not necessarily a bonus episode. I know I didn't have it listed last week on the list of scheduled episodes coming up. But I was supposed to have done this about a month ago. But, you know, life happens, and I had to put this one off for a little while. So here I am finally doing it today. And it is my honest critique of All Elite Wrestling so far. I want to preface what I'm going to say, but everything else that I'm going to say, by first starting off by saying that I love watching AEW. I've enjoyed the pay-per-views that I've been able to watch so far, and I've been enjoying, for the most part, watching AEW Dynamite and AEW Dark on YouTube. Dynamite on TNT, of course. But it is not without its faults. It is not without its flaws, and despite what a lot of people on Twitter like to say, AEW is not perfect. It is not the be-all, end-all. It is not the flawless product that they would want like you to believe that it is. Because many of the fans that are highly praising of AEW, they are doing so from a perspective of being tired of what the WWE has given us in recent years with regard to, you know, storylines and specific booking practices, I guess would be the right term, and use of certain wrestlers, or lack of use for certain wrestlers. And yeah, I mean, I definitely understand that, because I've had my frustrations with WWE as well. As, I mean, you can just listen to my previous episodes of this podcast where I talk about wrestling and whatever's happening in WWE at that time of whatever podcast that you'd be listening to. And I do voice my frustrations with the product, I do. And because I very much am a fan of professional wrestling, of sports entertainment, and have been my entire life, for as far back as I can remember. I've been a fan of WWF / WWE, WCW, ECW, NWA, TNA / Impact, FCW, NXT, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, MLW, of New Japan, AAA, CMLL, Defiant, what's the other one, Progress, I think I'm forgetting some other ones, Evolve, you know, they had their big 10th anniversary special on the WWE Network a couple months ago, which was great, and I am a fan of AEW. I love professional wrestling in general. It is one of my favorite things that I'm very passionate about, hence why I have this podcast. It's a big reason why I have this podcast, so that I can talk about my love of all things to do with professional wrestling. With that said, with AEW, and I've talked about this with a few friends and my brothers as well, while I enjoy watching Dynamite, while I have enjoyed watching the pay-per-views, there are a lot of things about the product that just really frustrate me, and I've talked a little bit about it before, but I wanted to go more in-depth on it this time. Like, one of the frustrations that I've, you know, been, it's kind of a minor detail, but it's, you know, how Cody Rhodes has been very vocal about saying he wants to present AEW as if it's, like, a legitimate sport, like, a, you know, not just a, you know, soap opera performance. But, you know, and they've done a pretty good job of that for the most part with, you know, they're keeping a tally of wins and losses, which I do love that. And they have their, even though they don't show actual rankings, they talk about rankings for who was in line for, you know, championship, shots and contention and all that stuff. And they have the, what was it? The, I can't remember. Oh yeah, the gold, those medals that they had. For the tag titles, where, that if you had a gold medal or the silver medal or the diamond medal or whatever bronze, thing that they did that showed where you ranked in regard to challenging the tag team championships, and that's cool. I love that. But also, if this was a legitimate sport product that they were presenting, like a real sport like UFC or baseball or football, they seem to have an issue with lack of enforcing the rules in some of the matches, like tag matches. They start out, simple enough, tag in and out for a few minutes, and then it all just goes ridiculous and insane and goes to shit, and nobody's tagging each other anymore. You can't keep track of who's the legal participant in the match, and they just don't care. I mean, nobody gets counted out. I don't think I've ever seen any of the referees in AEW, even start a count to 10 or 20, whatever it is, when the wrestlers are fighting outside. And Tully Blanchard as Sean Spears' manager, whenever Sean Spears has a match, he Tully gets involved in pretty much the entire match and almost blatantly interfering in front of the referee. The referee can see it, and the referee doesn't do anything about it. Doesn't tell him to stop, doesn't send him to the back, doesn't disqualify Sean Spears and then award the match to the other person. There's no enforcing of the rules. And again, I remember at that one of those at one of the first press conferences they gave at the beginning of the year, Cody Rhodes was very adamant about like, oh, we are a sports, professional sports product. That's what we're gonna be all about. We're gonna be all about the wrestling, and legit in real sports, they have rules that they like to enforce when certain things are going on, and AEW does not seem to give a shit about the rules, real or fictional, as it pertains to the product, but the fans, I mean, other than myself, a lot of them just seem to just not give a shit. They don't care about the rules. It's just literally anything and everything they do is better than WWE, because they are just unhappy with WWE. So literally anything that AEW puts out there is automatically I remember one person even saying. What I can't even remember what episode of Dynamite that it was. It was one of the first ones back in October that this person said, "Oh, this was literally better than anything WWE has done in the last 20 years." And it's like, that is. I understand, everyone has an opinion, it's subjective, and no one is necessarily wrong, but to say one show of a. One episode of a show that's only been on since the first Wednesday of October 2019 is better than anything that WWE had produced in 20 years. I find that to be just the most ridiculous point of view of that I've ever heard or read anybody say, because I think it was the one when Jericho wrestled Darby Allin for the AEW title, and I'll get into world title matches on free TV in a little bit, but you want to tell me that episode is better than WrestleMania 17, better than ECW One Night Stand 2005, better than Money in the Bank 2011, with that feature that all the great CM Punk versus John Cena match, better than Triple H versus Cactus Jack at the Royal Rumble 2000. It's like, really? None of that compares to that 1 2-hour episode of AEW. Okay. But yeah, going back to Jericho defending the world title against Darby Allin on the show. I understand, they don't have a lot of pay-per-views on their schedule, as far as the main pay-per-views. So this year they only had Double or Nothing, they had All Out, and they had Full Gear. Yes, they had Fyter Fest and Fight for the Fallen, but those were not even real pay-per-views because they were given away for free. But the pay-per-views, the ones that storylines led up to and actually meant something. Double or Nothing, All Out, Full Gear. So you gotta do something to fill in the gaps. Gotta do something to, fill up the time until the next pay-per-view. But, and I understand, they're trying to build that audience. They're trying to get all the attention. But I mean that was one of the things that WCW did a lot of during the Monday Night Wars, and it ultimately hurt them because if you're giving away world title matches on a free television show. Like they I mean the first episode when they had the women's title match, that was different. They'd already built up to that from the previous pay-per-view, so that's fine. I understand that. But like they've done two world title matches on AEW Dynamite. First one with defending against Darby Allin, the second one was against Scorpio Sky a couple weeks ago. Both of them were good matches, I love them. But it's just when you're putting a world the world title matches on free TV like that, and I understand WWE does that a lot. I'm not again, I'm not saying that they're that they're that they're exempt from this criticism, but just and I've talked about it again with my friends and my brothers that when you put the world title matches on TV, yeah, it's gonna get a nice little ratings bump, but then the fans might not be inclined to purchase the pay-per-view if that's the case, because you want them to buy the pay-per-view so you can get the big match. That's the payoff of the storyline. But if you put the matches on free TV, then like they have no reason to tune into the pay-per-view. Sometimes that works, other times it doesn't. But it's just yes, I like sometimes when they do the world title matches. They're fun. Like when Benoit and Triple H had their Iron Man match, the 1 hour Iron Man match on Raw back in 2004. That was a great match. And they only did that just to close. They did that one just to close the chapter on that storyline so they can build towards SummerSlam, because they still had like 6 or 7 weeks before SummerSlam. So that was fine. I understood that. But again, free title, world title match on TV. Not a lot of fans might are gonna tune in for the pay-per-view. Yeah, that's just me. And also, talking about some of the world title matches, I mean, not even really the world title match, just the roster itself that AEW has. Because AEW officially made their premiere at, with the Double or Nothing pay-per-view. That was back in May. And here we are in December. So May, June, July, August. So we've had 6 months, almost 7 months of AEW being around, and with 2.5 months of AEW Dynamite being on the air, and I'm recording this very late Tuesday going into Wednesday so that I can do all the necessary edits going into Thursday. So I have no idea what's going to be happening on Dynamite this week. So yeah, but they've had about 6 or 7 months to build up their roster. And they're already doing a lot of repeat matches. And when WWE does the repeat matches on Raw and SmackDown, fans all over Twitter and Facebook complain to no end and talking like, oh, WWE is just giving us the same old shit, same old shit, same old shit, same old shit. And yes, they do. A lot. Like at TLC, as much as I love watching New Day versus the Revival, I've seen them enough times this year, whatever, but I'm not seeing anyone complaining about that with AEW. Or if they are, I haven't been looking in the right places. Because we've had Joey Janela and Jon Moxley at least two or three times that I can think of. We've seen multiple times of Young Bucks versus or Santana and Ortiz. I can't remember what their tag team name is at the moment. Multiple times that they've either been 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 tag matches, and even with the women, they don't have as many women as they made us believe that they were going to have, and we've been seeing a lot of those same matches over and over again as well. And it's again, you're trying to build up some of the stories, but it's again at the same time, it's just doing exactly what they said they were not going to do. Comparing to WWE, they're doing a lot of the same matches almost every week, and that just after a while, the fans do get tired of it, and the ratings show that. The ratings have been on a bit of a steady decline since that first episode. Yeah, that first episode had great had a big rating, biggest rating premiere on TNT in several years, from my understanding. But when you look at the numbers since then, they've been on a bit of a downward, I won't say downward spiral, but they've They've been going down steadily. You know, that new wrestling show hype seems to have dwindled. And yeah, 'cause the way they're promoting AEW, they're not trying to cater or well, I won't say cater. They're not trying to reach the mainstream. They're not trying to reach the casual fan. You know, they're promoting for the fans of that were already built in. They're not trying to reach new fans. They're just the same people that were already behind them since the All In pay-per-view last year. You know, it just feels like they're not trying to build, they're not trying to grow the audience as much as they should be. It's just my opinion, my point of view. It could be wrong. I know others will feel differently, but just the way I'm looking at it, it just appears that they're not like they're, and then also with some of the matches that they do as well, they do so many of those of the what they call the lights out matches, where they say where basically it's a non-sanction that they are not AEW's not legally responsible for what happens. They've done like four of those already, and like yeah, that's fine. You know, I enjoy a good street fight. Those kind of matches I enjoy, but after a while, it's like, gotta do something different. I mean, they've done so many of those, and it's like, kid, yeah, they're trying so hard to try to reach those old Attitude Era fans, and it's like, I don't know, like, they're trying to, I just saying it again, they're trying to reach the fans by doing what they essentially led us to believe they were not going to be doing. And at the same time, the part of that is because of their very limited roster that they have, But to me, they should have no excuse because the AEW became official when they had their press conference back in January. They had their first pay-per-view in May. They've had more than enough time to build a roster, and they have not really built much of a roster at all. Man, let me look at the AEW website and see what they have on their roster because. It's just, I don't know. Right, All Elite Wrestling, allelitewrestling.com. There we go. All right, let me check out the roster because again, it's a very small roster. All right. All right, here we go. We have one, two, three. Three, six, nine, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30, 33, 36, 39, 42, 43 for the men. All right. And with the women as 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 16. So 43 and 16. So they only have 59 people on the roster total, and not really showcasing them that much, really. I understand, like Luchasaurus, he was out with an injury for about a month and a half, so that's fine. But just. Yeah, they have quite a few people on here that I'm not seeing showcased enough. Like Jimmy Havoc, I don't see enough of him. Kip Sabian, I don't see much of him. And I understand they have the AEW Dark for a reason. That's fine. But yeah, some of these names, they're not showcasing them that much. But it is what it is. I understand. Don't know, just. It just feels like I said they're not trying to grow their audience. They're not trying to grow the roster. I know they just signed a couple of new people, but it's just they like I said they had plenty of time to build their roster, and where are they? It's they should have had more stars to showcase by now. And also some of the storylines like. I mean, most of the storylines I've had no problem with. They've done pretty good. Like the MJF and Cody Rhodes storyline. That one had a very good build-up, if you've been paying attention to the Being the Elite series, and, you know, following their friendship all along the way. You know, so that storyline, you know, had a long build-up, you know, so it's good. It made sense, you know, but again, the fans that might not be watching Being the Elite will think that it's just an out-of-nowhere situation. But, like, some of the storylines that just doesn't make any sense to me, like, the thing with Brandi Rhodes and Awesome Kong. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. I don't understand it. Like, what the hell is it with the cutting of the hair, and just why is she doing it? Why is it happening? I don't understand it at all. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, what's the payoff for it? Like, seriously, what is the payoff to that story? What's it gonna eventually lead to? Because for like the first, you know, like month and a half of AEW Dynamite, Brandi Rhodes was just being Brandi Rhodes, Cody's wife, you know, not really doing any much of anything. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, they show a vignette where she's doing some voodoo ritual shit, you know, summoning the spirit of Awesome Kong, and, you know, yeah. I don't understand it. I don't understand why it's happening. Even when she did the promo explaining why she was doing it, I still didn't understand. And when the chick from the came out from the audience and shaved her head or cut off the piece of her hair, that was literally Straight Edge Society, CM Punk, when Serena pledged her allegiance to the Straight Edge Society. It was literally that from 10 years ago. And I understand. You know, there's almost no originality in pro wrestling anymore. As Ted DiBiase once said it, everything's been done and overdone. And just, you know, for AEW, again, trying to promote themselves as being the alternative, being original, that is literally a WWE storyline from 10 years ago. You know, the only difference is that instead of, you know, just being a cult of sobriety, which is what the Straight Edge Society was, Brandi Rhodes is doing some voodoo bullshit. But, I mean, she's the wife of the owner, so I guess she knows what she's doing. Who the fuck knows? And that's the other thing. Cody Rhodes, yeah, I know his match with Jericho at Full Gear, which, that was a great match. I love that match. I actually enjoyed it more than Moxley versus Omega. You know, but that's just me. That, you know, the storyline for the match was that if he lost, he could never challenge for the world title again. But, you know, it's just, I had that was another problem that I had. Cody, you know, as far as, like, you know, again, like, the rankings and all that stuff, Cody didn't do anything to earn that world title match with Jericho. But just, boom, suddenly he had a world title match on their third official pay-per-view. It's like, okay. You know. Which is something that I talked about with somebody, I think on Twitter, I don't remember who they were, but saying, like, that I was worried about Cody falling into or following the footsteps of what his father did as a booker, where he booked himself to be the world champion. That was something I was very worried about. And while he's not gonna be booked as the world champion, at least for now, he's still booking himself as the main event, which, yeah, you know, it's to be expected when you run the show. And also, his entrance, where he has the weird, like, whatever music, and he's rising up from the stage, and then has the super over-the-top pyro, like, why do you need that every single time? Even when he's just coming out in his suit to do a promo, they give him all that shit, like, can't he just walk out on stage, like, normal? You know, save the epic entrance for the pay-per-views? I mean, I don't know. I've had an issue with that ever since Double or Nothing, when he came out with the Triple H throne and took the sledgehammer to it. It's like, okay, we get it. Which brings me to my next frustration with AEW, is too many times that they reference WWE on their show while trying to say, oh, we're not competition. They are not competition. Then why do you keep referencing them? You know, even if they don't say them outright, they don't say WWE specifically, they do things that you know it's a reference to WWE. Like, one of the promos that Cody had with Jericho, he says, like, oh, there's no invisible barrier between us like that other place that we came from. And then also the segment they sometimes do on AEW Dark where they interview the crew members, like the referee, Aubrey Edwards, and the other guys backstage. And they're all, well, I mean, I wanted to go to WWE, WWE didn't want me, so now I'm with AEW. It's basically what all it is. It's like, if you want to stand out again, as the alternative and different from WWE, stop acknowledging WWE on your shows. You know, when you acknowledge the competition, you're just giving them more attention. You know, which that was what hurt WCW as well, creatively. Always acknowledging WWE. WWE never made any reference to or direct references to WCW until in the heat of the Monday Night Wars when WCW was all in on, no pun intended, talking about WWE on Monday Nitro. Like, yeah, '96 is when WWE started taking the jabs at WCW. Now, but WCW was the one that was flat out saying, like, oh, the other guys on, on the World Whining Federation, you got the big guy, Kevin Nash, blah, 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 and the transvestite Goldust used to be here as Dustin Rhodes, like, all stuff like that. And TNA did that as well. They suffered a lot in the early years, always referencing WWE, and that hurt them a lot. So, I mean, they're doing a lot better now, since they have their good working relationship with WWE now, they have that's which I actually really like that, by the way. And that's why you get to see the old TNA footage on the certain shows on the WWE Network now, because they have that working relationship with them. But just that's my one of my other issues with AEW, that stop saying things and doing things that are direct references to WWE. Like the other thing when Nyla Rose powerbombed the what's-her-face through the table, and they showed Britt Baker in the front row with the shocked face, like, oh my god, what? Like, that was literally them referencing TakeOver War Games when Britt Baker legitimately had that face for real when her boyfriend Adam Cole went from the top of the steel to the top of the cage through the tables. That was because that's her boyfriend. She was scared that he broke his neck coming off the top of that cage. But when AEW did it, it was them just like, look, we know what that's all about. Again, it's acknowledging the other company. When, if you want to stand out, stop acknowledging the other people. Stop acknowledging the competition. Like, because if you have to acknowledge the competition to be relevant, it's going to have the opposite effect. It's like, yeah, I know the AEW super fanboys are loving the shit out of that, but as someone who's been a lifelong wrestling fan that has watched WWF, WWE, WCW, ECW, NWA, Ring of Honor, TNA, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, FCW, NXT, CMLL, AAA, Evolve, Defiant, New Japan, let me catch my breath. Sorry, when I get a little excited, I start to, my heart beats a little fast, and I have a hard time catching up to my breath. Let me take a drink. And I don't know if any AEW fans are going to be listening to this once I share the links for this all over Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Vero. This is all just my personal feelings, my honest critique of the product. I mean, I still watch the shows. I still enjoy the shows overall. I still enjoy AEW overall. It's just, these are my frustrations with the product. And another thing, like, inconsistencies with some of the stuff that happens in some of the matches. Like the opening match from AEW Dynamite, it was Cody Rhodes, I think, versus Sammy Guevara. That there was the spot in the match where Cody did the suicide dive, and I think it was Sammy Guevara, that he pulled Brandy in the way, and he crashed right into her. And Basically, she kind of like no-sold it because a couple minutes later she got up and hit him with the with her shoe, and then after the match, Cody and him shake hands like good match, boy, good match. Like he literally grabbed your wife and made you hit her, and you're gonna shake his hands like oh good match, boy, good match. Like fuck that. That's a big inconsistency right there, because. Yeah, but again, if this kind of shit happened in WWE, fans would have been all over it, tearing it to shreds. Like the one guy, the Michael Nakazawa, whatever the fuck his name is, that match that he had with the video game dude on the pre-show for Fyter Fest, where poured himself with all the baby oil and took it, taking his the thong off and putting it over the dude's face. If that happened on WWE TV, fans would have been shitting all over it. But because it's not WWE, they were eating it up and loving every minute of it. Like, yeah. You wouldn't be saying that if WWE pulled that shit on their shows. You know? And I speak from experience because I pay attention to what fans talk about on with when it comes to WWE. They'll rip WWE to shreds for doing something, but when another company does the same thing, the exact same thing, they love it. And it just shows an obvious bias that that particular fan has. And I try not to be biased. I try to approach everything with an open mind. Like even with the Bobby Lashley and Rusev and Lana storyline that's happening on Raw right now. Fucking hate it so much. But I love Rusev, and if it's giving him a semi mid high high, high upper mid card push, then cool. But I still think it's a bullshit storyline, and I hate it so much. And I hope that at TLC, that'll be the end of it. Although I did love CM Punk's suggestion on WWE Backstage with how to progress the storyline, which if you haven't checked it out, go on YouTube and check out the where he talks about that, 'cause it's a hilarious suggestion, and I know they're not gonna go with it, but I would love to see it. But just yeah, if they did that kind of storyline on AEW, fans would be praising it so highly, even though it's a bullshit storyline. And honestly, like my favorite thing about AEW, I mean, other than some of the matches being really good matches, because they do have a lot of really really good matches. There are a lot of people on the roster that I love. Like I love SCU, they are awesome. I do love Cody. I love Jake Hager. Or Hagar, however you pronounce it. I do love Britt Baker. I do love MJF. He's a hilarious heel. I love him. And Jericho is my favorite person on AEW. I'm not gonna lie. I've been a fan of Jericho for like 20 something years. I can't even remember. I first started watching him on WCW, and I've been a fan of his ever since. And he 9 times out of 10 he is the highlight of the show for me. There's just if AEW can fix some of the shit that I talked about on here, then hopefully I can get them back on track, and it can be the great product that it should be. And that's gonna do it for this edition of the Minutize Podcast. I hope you all enjoyed listening to me ramble on for the last half hour about everything that I think is that I think's wrong with AEW. If you didn't enjoy it, thanks for tuning in anyway. And make sure you tune in to Saturday for my podcast where I give the predictions for WWE's TLC pay-per-view, the 11th annual TLC pay-per-view. And then I will have my post-pay-per-view podcast next week as well, so make sure you check those out. And also be sure to check out my retro film reviews and worst to best rankings, and my classic pay-per-views as well, my other film reviews and previous podcast episodes on this channel in the archives. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to the Minutize Podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, YouTube, wherever else you can find the Minutize Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at I Am Fozitude for podcast updates. Follow me on Instagram at Fozitude for fun pictures and memes I share. Follow me on Vero for all the other fun stuff that I do on there. Support the podcast donating to my Hall of Justice on Patreon for only $5 a month. The link will be in the description to the podcast. Check out the Men in Tights podcast store for shirts, stickers, wall art. Link to that will be in the description as well. And as always, thank you so much for tuning in and for subscribing, for listening, for watching. If you're on YouTube, I appreciate all of you. I love all of you who do. I genuinely do. Hope you have a fun rest of your day and whatever plans you have for this weekend. I hope you enjoy them. This has been the Men in Tights podcast. My name is Julian, and I will see you all next time. Bye-bye.